Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK Japan, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, Radio Havana Cuba, and Russia's Sputnik Radio. We'll begin with NHK World Radio Japan. The United Nations has called for aid funds for developing countries to fight the new coronavirus. The G7 foreign ministers failed to agree on a joint statement about COVID-19 because the U.S. insisted on calling it the Wuhan virus. The French government has imposed fines on people who failed to comply with restrictions on movement during their lockdown. French experts say a European clinical trial of experimental treatments for the virus have begun. The Iranian ambassador to Japan has asked for help getting the U.S. to lift economic sanctions, which are hampering efforts to deal with the virus. NHK Japan.
The United Nations has called for aid funds that would help countries and regions without proper health care fight the new coronavirus. The world body on Wednesday announced a plan to implement measures worth $2 billion over the next 9 months to contain the spread of the virus. The plan is to be carried out in places such as refugee camps in developing countries in the Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia, and South America, where medical care is insufficient. It aims to supply test kits and medical equipment, set up hand-washing and disinfection facilities, launch public information campaigns, and establish hubs for UN officials and aid workers. WHO Chief Tedros has noted that the epicenter of the outbreak may shift from developed countries to the developing world. He said what is most worrying is the danger the virus poses to people already affected by conflict, climate crisis, or disease outbreaks. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the coronavirus is menacing the whole of humanity, and so the whole of humanity must fight back. He added individual country responses are not going to be enough, and called for financial aid to provide urgent support to developing countries.
A major U.S. newspaper says the G7 foreign ministers failed to agree on a joint statement because of U.S. insistence on referring to COVID-19 as the Wuhan virus. The foreign ministers of the group of 7 industrialized nations held a video conference on Wednesday. They agreed to cooperate in developing medicine and helping developing countries to stop the spread of the deadly virus. The Washington Post on Thursday cited G7 officials as saying U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo insisted on referring to the Wuhan virus in the meeting. The paper quoted officials as saying other participants rejected the term as unnecessarily divisive when international cooperation is needed to slow the global pandemic. After the conference, Pompeo reaffirmed his criticism of China, telling reporters the most pressing agenda item today was the Wuhan virus. The US and China have traded verbal blows over the origin of the epidemic and disclosure of information about the outbreak.
The French government has tightened measures to curb the spread of the coronavirus by raising penalties for people who fail to comply with restrictions on movement. The lockdown measures imposed last Tuesday ask residents to basically stay at home, only allowing them to go out to buy food and other daily necessities, go to a hospital, or commute if they cannot work from home. Those who go out need to carry a form that describes the reason for leaving home. Violators will face a fine of 135 euros or about $144, but a number of people have already been fined for violating the rules. On Sunday, an official at the Interior Ministry said that any recurrence of non-compliance within 15 days risks a fine of up to 1,500 euros or about $1,600.
French experts say a European clinical trial of four experimental treatments for the new coronavirus began on Sunday. The French National Institute of Health and Medical Research says the trial involves remdesivir, as well as the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine, and a combination of the anti-HIV drugs lopinavir and ritonavir, which will be administered with or without interferon beta. The trial will target 3,200 inpatients in European countries, including France, Britain, Spain, and the Netherlands. The data will be provided to the World Health Organization. French experts said on Monday that an initial analysis on the efficacy of the drugs are expected in 15 days. No effective treatments have been found for the novel coronavirus, although the anti-HIV drugs and flu medications have been given to patients in various countries.
Iran's ambassador to Japan has asked the Japanese government to help lift U.S. economic sanctions on his country, which he says have been hampering efforts to fight the new coronavirus. Iran has the largest number of infections in the Middle East, with more than 24,800 confirmed cases and over 1,900 deaths. Ambassador Morteza Rahmani Movahed told reporters in Tokyo on Wednesday that the lack of medical equipment is hampering his country's efforts to sustain health and welfare systems and public hygiene. He blames sanctions imposed by the United States, saying they have made Iran unable to export crude oil and secure funds to buy medical equipment. He added that the sanctions have also been an obstacle to the regular procurement of medical supplies. The ambassador thanked Japan's decision earlier this month to provide about $22.5 million in medical assistance to Iran. But he noted the important thing is to lift sanctions so that regular trade can be resumed.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan, heard from 10 to 10:30 p.m. at 6155-7410 or 9860, or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. All the times I'm announcing are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. On to Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. A review of how the corona pandemic is expanding and being approached in many different nations. In Austria, the public broadcaster and power company have isolated healthy workers to ensure that news and electricity will not be affected. The U.S. is likely to become the epicenter of the pandemic, but many healthcare workers say that they do not have supplies to protect themselves. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Now, here are some of the latest developments in the coronavirus pandemic. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has announced a nationwide lockdown. Beginning at midnight, some 1.3 billion people will be barred from leaving their homes for 21 days. Here in Germany, 95% of people say they support the government's ban on gatherings of more than two people. That's according to a new poll. Meanwhile, some 6 million protective masks that were destined for Germany have gone missing at an airport in Kenya. A German firm had produced the masks, and it's unclear why they were in Kenya to begin with. And the World Health Organization is warning about a big acceleration in case numbers in the United States. It says the U.S. could become the new epicenter of the global pandemic.
Prince Charles, the heir to the British throne, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Buckingham Palace says that he has mild symptoms. Spain has seen another surge in its death toll with more than 3,400 deaths. Spain has now passed China in the number of known coronavirus fatalities and is second only to Italy. And Libya has announced its first confirmed infection. Controlling the outbreak in the country will be particularly challenging as two rival groupings vie for political control.
Well, the latest figures from Johns Hopkins University show a sharp increase in the number of deaths in Germany due to the coronavirus. A total of 206 people have died. That's up by more than 30% on the previous day. So far, the mortality rate has been low here in Germany, but medical experts are warning that the outbreak here is still at an early stage. France is suspending its anti-terrorism training mission in Iraq and withdrawing its military as French forces are called home to fight the virus. France has almost 26,000 confirmed cases. And Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says he believes his country will slow the rate of transmission within 2 to 3 weeks, declaring that we have preparations for every scenario.
3 months into the outbreak, and the global death toll from COVID-19-related illnesses has now passed 22,000. Singapore's government has reported 52 new cases, bringing its tally of infections to 683. It says just over half of the new infections were imported, while the rest were locally transmitted. And Russia is halting all flights into and out of the country from Friday. Moscow's mayor has ordered the closure of all shops except grocery stores and pharmacies from Sunday. Russia has also reported its first two deaths from the disease.
A news team at the Austrian public broadcaster ORF will go into voluntary isolation to prevent any of them from becoming infected. Now, they'll be isolated on site in Vienna. They've all tested negative for the virus, and no one will be allowed in. The door will be guarded and food will be delivered. These 180 employees will guarantee that news services continue to run uninterrupted. ORF is not the only Austrian company to seal off key teams of staff. Last week, around 50 healthy employees from the main energy company were isolated within certain power stations to make sure that the electricity supply would not be affected.
While the U.S. is looking likely to become the pandemic's new epicenter, many healthcare workers there say they do not have the supplies they need.
A long line of drivers, all waiting to be tested for the coronavirus. This is Florida, but the queues are getting longer right across America. The number of confirmed infections is gathering pace, along with the number of those known to have died from the virus. As the scale of the outbreak becomes increasingly clear, doctors are worried about their own safety. Doctors say hospitals nationwide are overwhelmed and there's not enough protective gear.
There are people that literally are wearing bandanas because they have nothing better than that to protect themselves from the respiratory droplets of patients who are infected with COVID-19. And I think that's a national shame.
U.S. President Donald Trump downplayed the dangers of a pandemic for weeks before changing his tone. But he has criticized the shutdowns advocated by infectious disease experts to bring the outbreak under control.
We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem. At the end of the 15-day period, we'll make a decision as to which way we want to go, where we want to go, the timing. And essentially, we're referring to the timing of the opening. Essentially, the opening of our country. This was a medical problem. We are not going to let it turn into a long-lasting financial problem.
An increasing number of states have closed down non-essential businesses, hitting owners hard.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. DW is producing many excellent virus reports in English, which you can easily find at dw.com. Next, Radio Havana, Cuba. Italy requested and has welcomed a brigade of Cuban medical workers to aid in the fight against the virus. Venezuelan President Maduro has requested that the U.S. government lift economic sanctions in the face of the pandemic. The Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif accused the U.S. of reaching a higher level of inhumanity by imposing new sanctions during the health crisis. A British court announced it will not release Julian Assange on bail, despite the danger of the virus spreading in the maximum security prison where he's being held for the U.S. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The National Coordinator of Cubans Living in Italy, CONASI, welcomed on Sunday the arrival of a brigade of Cuban health workers to help fight the COVID-19 in that European nation. In a statement, CONASI expressed joy and satisfaction for the arrival of the highly qualified Cuban medical personnel and described the event as a symbol of brotherhood between the peoples of both countries. The Cuban Minister of Public Health, José Ángel Portal Miranda, bid farewell on Saturday to the 52-member group, which was expected to arrive in Milan, the capital of Lombardy, the region most affected by the epidemic. Giulio Galera, the region's government's health and welfare secretary described the presence of the Caribbean nation's collaborators as an extraordinary opportunity. He said they would be working in a newly built field hospital in Crema in Lombardy province. Cuba's prompt response to Italy's request for help in dealing with the most severe emergency since the end of World War II has been in the news for several days in Italy's traditional media and social media, with positive comments and repeated expressions of gratitude.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has requested that the U.S. government lift its sanctions due to the COVID-19 outbreak that has already had a major effect on the Venezuelan economy. Maduro called on the Venezuelan people to help demand the end of the economic blockade, especially during this worldwide crisis period. The Bolivarian Republic leader also requested the elimination of financial, oil, and food sanctions. The Venezuelan president announced economic measures to face the sanitary crisis caused by the spread of the coronavirus. Among other dispositions, rent payments will be suspended for 6 months. Venezuelan Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza also published on his official Twitter profile, "In times of a world pandemic, Washington maintains sanctions as instruments of attack against the people to generate suffering, showing the inhumane and cruel character of imperialism. There is no doubt about it. Sanctions are a crime, and it shows today, no more than ever."
Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif accused the United States of taking its policy of maximum pressure on Tehran to a new level of inhumanity by imposing new sanctions on Iran as it struggles to cope with a huge surge of COVID-19 cases. Zarif tweeted that the Trump administration was gleefully taking pride in killing Iranian citizens on the Persian New Year, celebrated on March 20th this year. He said U.S. policy displayed an utter contempt for human life. His rebuke comes shortly after the U.S. blacklisted 5 companies based in the United Arab Emirates for trading in Iranian petrochemicals. 3 companies in China, 3 in Hong Kong, and 1 in South Africa were also added to the list last week as Washington attempts to choke off Tehran's oil revenues. Washington's increased pressure against Iran is a crime against humanity. All the world should help each other to overcome this disease, Reuters quoted an Iranian official as saying over the weekend. Iran has at least 1,400 deaths from COVID-19 so far, with more than 19,000 confirmed cases.
The founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, will not be let out of prison amid the recent COVID-19 outbreak, the British court announced on Wednesday. The Westminster Magistrates Court in London rejected a plea from the Assange defense team that called on British authorities to release the WikiLeaks founder from the high-security Bull Marsh prison. Judge Vanessa Breitzer, who is overlooking the Assange case, ruled that the WikiLeaks founder should remain in prison until his case is heard next February 2021. Assange's defense team attempted to argue that the whistleblower's health was at stake in this prison, as he has already suffered under the current prison conditions. The defense team reported that Assange was in imminent danger if left inside the Bryn Mawr prison, citing the rapid spread of coronavirus as the main reason for the request of the release. The whistleblower was arrested by the British authorities last year when the regime of Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno announced that they were expelling him from their diplomatic mission in London. Since then, the WikiLeaks founder has been silenced by the British authorities while he awaits a trial for extradition to the United States.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website, radiohc.cu, but their podcast links remain unavailable. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. If you have questions or comments about the Shortwave Report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Almost all the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support it like a serial contributor in Willits, California did this week. We will conclude with Sputnik Radio. On his program called Going Underground, Afshin Ratansi interviewed his former director at the BBC, Tariq Ali. Tariq is a journalist and political activist in Britain. The excerpts which we will hear were on the 17th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War and why it is still relevant today. He also discusses the alleged torture of Julian Assange and his extradition trial. Sputnik Radio.
Let's go straight to one of the greatest living political activists and writers who has inspired anti-war figures from Malcolm X to John Lennon. Tariq Ali joins us from his North London home via Skype. Tariq, thanks so much for coming on the program. I have to declare an interest because you brought me to Channel 4 in the 1980s and you were my boss. You were speaking at rallies. The largest global demonstration in history was against the Iraq War. Alas, does it not show that protests, marches do not stop wars like the one that happened 17 years ago today? And what difference was Iraq to Vietnam? Because obviously Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones sang about your opposition to the Vietnam War. How is it different?
I think the main differences lie in what happened to the world in the 90s. In my opinion, the fact that the Soviet Union collapsed, that China went the way it did, created a huge wave of demoralization, even amongst people who basically didn't support these governments, but saw them as creating a space between two power blocks, and in that space, we could all function and live and be critical of whatever side we wanted to do. Once that counterbalance disappeared, the United States became the hegemonic power in on a global scale. And people felt there were no alternatives left. The Iraq anti-Iraq war demonstrations, in my opinion, were the first sign that people were searching for something else. Firstly, by saying, don't make war on Iraq. And these demonstrations were huge in Europe. But if we look back on it, over 1 million people in London, 2 million people in Madrid, nearly 3 million in Rome, over 200,000 in New York, hundreds of thousands all over California, Chicago, every American city in provincial state capital was infected and affected by a desire to stop the war. They were ignored. And one reason they were ignored is that they had no following and little support in Parliament. When you have the Republicans and the Democrats waging war and supporting it, when you have Tony Blair, then Prime Minister in Britain, and the Conservative opposition supporting the war, then, you know, you can have 2-3 million people and you can be ignored. I mean, that's the reality of it. And they never came out again in those numbers. I remember saying at the big demonstration in London, we are all trying to fight against the war, but don't imagine it won't take place, or words to that effect. And we'll need more of you if they start bombing Baghdad. Well, we didn't. We couldn't. There was anger, but effectively they got away with it. But it would be wrong to draw from this the conclusion that protest is useless. It may not always be effective, but creating a different public opinion is extremely important. I look now and nothing's being done on Palestine. The Israeli occupation has been sanctified by Trump and de facto by the European Union. There is no chance of the Palestinians getting any form of state, even the most nominal one, at the present time. nothing happens. The world is silent. Gaza is a total ghetto, completely wrecked by disease. The Palestinian Authority has got so used to collaboration with the Israelis that they basically don't know what to do when they oppose what's happening now. I mean, they participated in creating this situation.
Well, the British...
The world is not a good place, is what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean we stop arguing, debating, mobilizing. I mean, life would be awful if one just became passive.
Julian Assange, because of whom we know so much more about Iraq than we ever did back then. How frightened are you for Julian Assange, can I just ask, the founder of WikiLeaks, given he's in Belmarsh prison and... governors of prisons in this country obviously are worried about the spread of coronavirus.
I'm extremely worried about Julian. I've known him for many, many years now. I mean, initially it seemed that they were imposing a regime on him in that prison, which could have led to an early death. That is what a number of doctors said. And then the governor of the prison, a brutish figure, who none of these judges want to challenge because it's not legal, that's the governor's domain, which is nonsense. If a prisoner appearing before them is not in a fit state to give evidence, they have every right to challenge the governor of the prison. So Julian is deliberately being mistreated. The case is completely manufactured. Niels Meltzer, the UN reporter on torture, has made a very powerful intervention saying that what took place in Sweden when he was accused of rape, something he always denied, was part of an entrapment process and designed to discredit him and lose support, which was relatively successful. I think many people have seen through that. But the fact is that this accusation against Julian on security matters is completely bizarre, and everyone knows it is. The Americans know it's the only way they can get him back into the States. The British know that this is a political decision. It has nothing to do with the law and are going along with it. And I hope that some sense prevails when the case goes to the Supreme Court in this country, because it is quite shocking. Even Boris Johnson, who has been for most of his life a journalist, should understand if you agree to what the Americans are asking you to do. I mean, today it affects Julian Assange, who's exposed war crimes. Tomorrow it could affect other journalists who expose other things which the United States don't want to expose. And the Americans already have said, Washington has said that any foreign journalist can, the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply to them. So they can pick anyone up and take him or her over to Washington to be tried, since most governments do their bidding anyway.
Tariq Ali, thank you.
That interview was from Avshin Ratansi's program called Going Underground, which is heard on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's far simpler than you might think, except for the interference that will be caused by your electronic devices. If you use the internet, listening globally is easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 23rd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.